Today on Rainbow Country, religion and homosexuality, plus open lines, 416-946-7000. Let's talk. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio Toronto Style, right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
The following program may use words or phrases not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Rainbow Country is brought to you in part by Inspired Media, Inc. If it's LGBTQ, it's in their publications. The Pink Pages Directory, Pink Play Mags, The Buzz Magazine, and popular talk show On the Couch. 27 years and expanding. InspiredMediaInc.ca. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, everyone has a story to tell. And right here on this LGBT show is where it all starts. We lift our voices, share our stories, and we'll raise our pride. After all, we've come a long way since 1969 and the Stonewall riots, to the legalization of same-sex marriage, to the recognition of trans equality. I'm Mark Tara. Join me on this journey through Rainbow Country. CIUT 89.5 FM. This is Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show, giving voice to the LGBT community. I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm Mark Tara. A little bit about me. I'm an LGBT content creator. I'm also a recording artist. Get social, get interactive like you have been on social media, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. Want to send me an email? mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com. And thanks to you, this is the third week in a row that Rainbow Country is in the top 10 on podomatic.com. So thanks to you. And again, everything is hooked up through my website, marktara.com. marktara.com. So, this is episode 38. On this episode, I'm spotlighting religion and homosexuality. Recently, I had a chat with social worker and born-again Christian Kendra Wasink, and she's going to give us her take on the church and the LGBT community, especially when it comes to the evolution of the church. Plus, open lines. I want to hear from you. 416-946-7000. Let's talk. This journey through Rainbow Country begins right now.
Hi, this is Carol Pope on CIUT 89.5 FM.
I am joined by a registered social worker. She's also a Christian, Kendra Wasink. Welcome.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, did I say your last name right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good. Yep. So, Kendra, give us a bit of background on yourself, where you grew up, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so I grew up in London, Ontario. I was raised in a Christian community, a really close-knit Christian community. So the idea of Christianity and Jesus and faith has always been interwoven in my upbringing. I went to private Christian schools, church every Sunday. Everyone in my community was part of my denomination. So that's always been a really big part of who I am, of my community, of my identity. It's always been really important to who I am and kind of how life works.
Mm-hmm. So you're also a social worker.
Mm-hmm.
What inspired you to become a social worker? Why did you choose that profession?
That's a good question. So I graduated from high school, and at that time I was really interested in theater.
Okay. You have that look about you.
Yeah,
you look like a music theater kind of gal.
Not music theater, but So I studied theater for 4 years.
Okay.
And decided to go to a Christian university, again, part of my denomination. So my denomination has 3 universities in North America.
Okay.
I went to the one in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Calvin College, and majored in theater there because I really wanted to learn how to do theater from a faith perspective.
Okay.
And that's kind of what it's really high value in my denomination, of learning how to do every part of your life through your faith.
Sure.
So I did that for 4 years, and kind of near the end of my senior year, hadn't really found my niche in theater. Wasn't really getting cast very often as an actor, and I wasn't doing great in the costume shop, so I wasn't really like, yes, this is my career path.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually really interested in casting directing because of the hospitality aspect. I've always been really interested in working with people and community. I've considered being a pastor a few times, so that aspect.
Wow.
So something that I've kind of bounced around. So
mm-hmm. Like, are there a lot of women pastors in your denomination?
In my denomination, no.
Okay.
No, that's, I mean, it's allowed, but they're a minority.
Right.
Yeah. So graduated, not really sure where my direction was going. So I took a year off and was kind of thinking, I'm either going to pursue casting directing or social justice for women in some capacity. Because that was another strong passion of mine, feminism, equality. So kind of took a year to take a break and moved back home, which kind of felt like a step backwards, but hey, you do what you gotta do at times.
Sure.
And just started to think about what my interests were, my passions were, and yeah, just realized that social justice really was the more sustainable choice in terms of what I was spending more time thinking about, what
right.
I was reading about, what I was talking to people about. It was social justice and feminism. So that led me to social work, because I could have done women's studies or social work was kind of the two programs that would work for that. And there's just a lot more opportunity in social work. So looked up master's in social work programs, applied to 3, got accepted to Wilfrid Laurier and started that.
And here you are.
And here I am. Well, there's a story of what happened at MSW, but we'll get into that as well.
So you're a social worker.
Mm-hmm.
You're also a Christian.
Yes.
And you're also an ally of the LGBT community.
Yes.
What drew you to the LGBT community? Why are you an ally of the gay community? Do you have a lot of gay friends, that sort of thing? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so it's definitely starts with my friends and the people that are in my life. So
Okay. Two
of my closest friends identify as gay and were raised in the same denomination that I was. So being close friends with them, I kind of had a front row seat to their journey of discovering and coming out in their sexual orientation and their encounters with our community and how our community reacted.
And how was that reaction?
If
you can
mainly,
sum it up in a nutshell.
Mainly negative.
Okay.
More negative experiences than positive, if I'm going to generalize. And again, not that I want to speak for them, but I always wanted to be affirming.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to support my friends if they found partners. That's always where my heart was.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't always know how to work the theology of it, though I didn't always know whether the Bible really supported that or kind of where my theology landed with that. So that was a journey for me to kind of explore that and do some readings about other affirming Christians and what theology they had discovered. Mm-hmm. And so looking at social justice, sexuality, my friends' experiences, and that kind of the church, and that all kind of came together to LGBTQ and faith. And realizing that, and there's always been something about me that's drawn to those like furthest conversations, those really on the edge, mm-hmm. tough conversations, mm-hmm. which is a blessing and a curse sometimes.
But you're willing to go there.
Yeah, I love going there.
Yeah.
I love pushing the boundaries. And this is definitely one of those boundaries right now in the church and a huge need. In my undergrad, we always talked about vocation is where your passion and the world needs meet. Mm-hmm. And this was it. I'm passionate about this. I'm passionate about the church being a safe, belonging place. I'm passionate about people experiencing belonging and healthy sexuality. And I'm passionate about social justice. So it all kind of came together to that.
Well said.
Thank you.
So on that note, mm-hmm. let's take a break.
All right.
And we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
Hello, Toronto. It's party time, and I'm Julie Lee.
I'm DJ Dallas.
You're listening to CIUT
89.5 FM.
And we're talking about the church and homosexuality. And Kendra, you are a Christian. You're an ally of the LGBT community. Do you see those things? Are they at odds at all, do you think?
No, not for me. I'd say there may have been a time where I didn't know how to bring those two together. But now that I've taken the time to do some of my own searching through the theology, through the passages that people claim to not be affirming, and kind of found my peace with them. Mm-hmm. For me, they're integral. They come from the same place. The reason I'm a Christian is the reason I'm an ally. Because I'm a Christian and I believe in belonging and community and acceptance, and that's why I'm an ally.
So I don't want to put you on the spot here, mm-hmm. or anything, but if you can share maybe in a nutshell about some of the passages you're talking about that might be interpreted as being affirming for the LGBT community, if you can.
So it's the opposite. So it's the seven, there are seven passages in mm-hmm. the Bible that people that are not affirming mm-hmm. point to as,
okay.
as these are why the church can't include or accept.
Right.
Yes.
Homosexuality.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of the theological talks focus on those seven passages.
Okay.
Yep. And trying to figure out, is that what that means?
So are they stories?
In some of them.
Okay. So what are some of those? Is one of them maybe like Sodom and Gomorrah?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And like the pillar of salt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's one.
That's one. And okay. That one boils my blood. Okay. Oh my gosh.
Why?
So the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, the part that people relate to this conversation is, the main character, Lot, has two guests come to his home. The two men are staying with him, and all of the men of the town come to his door and say, "Hey, we see you have guests. Bring them out there so we can sleep with them."
Okay.
And in the end, the two guests end up being angels, and they blind the group of men okay. that are trying to sleep with them. So, and then Sodom and Gomorrah is burned.
Right. When they're leaving.
Yes, when they're leaving. Yep. So Sodom and Gomorrah is seen as a sinful, fallen place.
Right.
And people have said that that's because those group of men wanted to sleep with those two men. Therefore, two adult consenting men today can't sleep with each other.
Right.
And that is not even close to the same thing.
Okay.
Because that is gang rape.
Right.
That situation. That's a group of men wanting to rape two other men.
Right.
And so when people try to relate that to my friends that are having consensual relationships.
Because right. I don't think anyone is going to condone,
no.
Gang rape of no, anyone.
Exactly. But just the fact that people would even try to make that connection right. or even think that's the same thing
right.
at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just gets
it boils your blood.
Boils
girl.
My blood.
So can you think off the top of your head of another story?
Yeah, so the other ones are pretty much just short passages. So there's a verse in Leviticus that says, a man should not lie with a man as a woman. It is an abomination.
Okay.
There are a lot of things in Leviticus that also says we're not supposed to braid our hair or eat shellfish.
Okay.
So the way we relate to the Old Testament and understand what's applicable now is that's complex. There are two verses in the New Testament that list a group of people that aren't going to go to heaven. So it says people that lie, people that steal, people that are alcoholics. Mm-hmm. And many of the English translations have the word homosexuals. These people will not inherit the kingdom of earth. Mm-hmm. Therefore, people believe if you're gay, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of earth. Mm-hmm. The trick with that is translating it to homosexuals doesn't really work, because in Greek there was no word that would literally translate to homosexuals.
Okay.
There are those two words in the two different passages are tough to translate, and they've never been seen anywhere else in the Bible. So for us to for sure know what that's referring to is, it takes tricky hermeneutics, which is studying of theology.
Okay.
But when you look at kind of the details of what that word likely would be referring to, it mainly looks like adult men that sleep with slave boys.
Okay.
Again, very different scenario than two consenting adults.
Right.
And then another one, which is the verse that I wrestled with the most, is Romans first. And it talks about a group of people that sinned, and therefore God gave them up to unnatural passions for the same gender. And so again, people take that to be those attractions are unnatural, therefore God does not condone them.
Mm.
And yeah, a lot of theological understandings, again, view that as a very complex verse to interpret.
Mm-hmm.
I guess for me, where I've come is, this is the one verse I'm stuck on. I don't really know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I see my friends in their relationships, and that looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Their relationships are supportive. They're loving. They're consensual. Mm-hmm. They're Christ-centered. They're supporting one another. They're making each other's lives better. So do I think that this one complex verse is enough to convince me that I need to go and then condemn my friends in their relationships?
Right.
No.
And a whole group of people.
And yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And looking at the harm that's come out of that theology, I'm not willing to do that. And if I'm wrong, the Bible preaches all about grace. So I'd rather err on the side of grace and forgiveness and acceptance than try to force something that feels really unnatural for me, which would be not affirming. Right.
So talk to me about, I guess, maybe different fractions of Christianity potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the Metropolitan Community Church movement.
Mm-hmm.
Which welcomes the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are different aspects of Christianity and different churches that basically don't.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Why can the Metropolitan Church say, hey, you're part of the LGBT community, come on in.
Mm-hmm.
And others, you're part of the LGBT community, maybe not.
Mm.
Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so I don't know a lot of detail about the history of the MCC, but from what I understand, like they're one of their main focuses is being a place of acceptance and belonging.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't surprise me if as they were started, that was their focus of we're going to be a church where anyone, specifically the LGBTQ community, can come and belong.
Mm-hmm.
A pastor of that church in London described it to me as the refugee church. So people that identify as LGBTQ don't feel comfortable or accepted at their home churches,
mm-hmm.
have to leave,
mm-hmm.
and are therefore refugees from their communities and then go to MCC.
Right.
So that's where they go when they're no longer able to go to their other churches. And the reason they're no longer able to go to these other churches is largely because these churches have grown out of more traditional traditions, right? They started with the understanding that LGBTQ folks weren't allowed.
Right.
And so all of those churches have to go through the process of challenging their current theology, deciding to change it,
right,
and then actually doing that. And that is a really long process because you have to get the majority of people on board mm-hmm. with that. And that's not easy to do.
So there's a phrase that I want to get your mm-hmm. comments on.
Yeah.
Love the sinner, hate the sin. What does that mean to you?
It's an easy way for people to feel righteous about their judgment.
Mm. Well said.
Thank you. It's an easy way for us to say, I'm going to condemn something in you, but I'm still showing love to you, even if you don't feel it as love. Which is important. I think people glaze over that of like, oh, but I think it's love. Even if it doesn't feel like love to you, that's what I think it is. So I don't have to challenge or rethink my actions or my theology. Mm. And I think that's really dangerous when we don't look at the impact of our theology and how it's impacting our community. For me, this movement towards affirmation is just the next stage of acceptance, right? So I go way back to thinking about slavery mm-hmm. and abolition of slavery. So mm-hmm. for a long time, Christians thought that the Bible affirmed slavery and okay. that the Bible supported that. And then we started to look at how that was impact, or some people started to look at how that was actually impacting mm-hmm. and whether that really fit with the overall message of grace and love that the Bible preached. And we're like, actually, maybe not.
But then you can also relate that to women.
Exactly. That's the next stage.
Why aren't women allowed to become priests? Like, because you were just saying in your denomination, mm-hmm. there are very few yeah. women pastors.
Yeah. So I kind of view it as like, so we started with slavery, and then the next stage was women, right? So the Bible has been and is often used in a way to oppress and keep women in a certain place. Mm-hmm. And many people believe that that is correct theology. Until certain people started to look at it and be like, the impact of that theology doesn't really look like the equal community, grace-filled community that Christ preached. Maybe our theology is off. So we went back and looked at our theology, and many of us have a different theology now, and women are starting to have more opportunity in the church. For me, this next step is the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm. where it's the exact same thing. We thought we had our theology where, you know, it's not appropriate, it's not right, we can't have LGBTQ folks in our community. And then some folks started to look at the impact of that theology and started to realize,
oh, there goes my
ta-da, we're done.
My batteries are running low. Go on, girl.
So we started to look, some of us started to look at the impact of that theology and the damage that it was doing, and realizing, again, this doesn't look like the, you know, grace-filled, love-centered community that Christ preached. Maybe we have our theology wrong again. Mm-hmm. And so we started to look at it in a different way and started to push more towards that grace place of community and belonging.
Yeah.
Right. So for me, it's steps that we're moving more and more towards. And it's tough, and people don't like change. They don't like thinking about yeah. the Bible in a different way. It feels very threatening.
So on that note, let's evolve.
All right.
Let's take a break and evolve into the next section.
All right.
We'll
good.
Be right back.
Hi, I'm Liberty Silver, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
So Kendra, you are a leader in your church.
I was, yes.
You were a leader yes. in your church. Talk mm-hmm. to me about that. How were you a leader in your church?
Yeah, so the way our church structure works is we have something called a council, which is about 15 people that are kind of in charge of running the church. So I was co-chair of the pastoral care elders, who are the group of people that are responsible for the spiritual well-being of the church and the church members. So we met monthly, we talked about how the church was doing, we were responsible for connecting with people, meeting with them, seeing how they were doing and how their spirituality was, and just offering support.
So you're a leader in your church. Mm-hmm. And in the last segment we were talking about how the church has oppressed people,
mm-hmm. yeah.
women, the LGBT community.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's important for the church to be affirming, especially for the LGBT
yes,
community?
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, that's one of the main reasons why I want to do this work is because I love the church. I love what it is and what it's called to be. It's called to be a place of belonging and acceptance. Mm-hmm. And in this situation, that's not what it has been. Right? It largely in the past and currently, sometimes, often, has been the oppressor instead of being the defender.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not okay.
It doesn't sound godly either,
no,
does it?
No, exactly. That's not what we're called to do. That's not why we're on this earth. We're here to what we call bring the kingdom, right? To bring that equality and to fight for justice and love mercy and walk humbly with our God.
Do you see a lot of younger people that think the same way that you are, especially
yes.
when it comes to organized religion? Mm-hmm. That they
yeah.
need, that the church needs to evolve. It needs to affirm the LGBT community.
Yeah.
It needs to affirm women being in positions of power in the church.
Yep.
Do you see that in your circle of friends?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely like a larger idea and belief with the younger generation.
Okay.
So I'd say like that's one of the main reasons why I think it's important, because that's what we're called to do. And when we exclude people, that is the opposite of mm-hmm. what we're called to do. Also, when we exclude the LGBTQ community from our churches, we are cutting off one of our own limbs.
Hmm.
We are reducing the blessing and gift that we could be receiving as a community.
Right.
So I'm connected. A number of my friends are LGBTQ Christians. And the blessing, the gift, the wisdom that they have shared with me,
mm-hmm.
the belonging and grace that they've given to me.
And they are practicing...
Yes. Yeah.
Gay individuals.
Yes. Yep.
What have you.
Yes.
Going back to that question.
Mm-hmm.
You
yes.
know, love the sinner,
yep.
hate the sin,
yeah.
that sort
yep.
of thing.
No. So people that are fully LGBTQ,
right.
practicing in relationship,
right.
and very committed to their faith.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just realizing the blessing that I've received from them,
mm-hmm.
and what the church is missing by kicking them out,
right.
is huge. When people have gone through that journey of figuring out how to bring together their faith and sexuality,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of strength there. I remember one of the first times I was in a group of LGBTQ Christians. It was a wine and cheese night, and we were chatting, and someone made a sex joke. And I was like, oh my gosh, we can admit that we're sexual beings here?
You know, that's a good point.
Yeah, right? We're like, we can talk about that.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just such a huge relief of like, okay, I feel a lot more comfortable now, right? Because even like in many Christian communities, that's very taboo.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about that. We don't acknowledge that.
The sexuality.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With gender and sexuality and what that means mm-hmm. to be a healthy sexual being. But in the LGBTQ Christian community, that's not a problem at all. And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
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 So that's one of the blessings, but it goes, yeah, there's a myriad of blessings that they bring.
When you were talking about that, what came to my mind is feminism.
Mm.
And I heard someone once say that to be feminist doesn't mean that you can't be sexual.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And something that maybe doesn't include the LGBT community is the ex-gay movement.
Yes.
What is the ex-gay movement? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so the ex-gay movement started in 1976. And I was doing a bit of research just so I knew my details a little more, and actually started as a Bible study of gay Christians that were looking for relief. So they really did believe that God could heal them
mm-hmm.
from their orientation. So they believed that God would take the gay away. So there's this phrase, pray the gay away.
Mm.
So it started as a Bible study, a small group of people looking for that. And it grew into this huge organization called the Exodus International. And it became this huge group of people that were doing Christian reparative therapy. So really preaching that if you had enough faith, if you did enough therapy, if you prayed enough, God would make you straight.
You'd pray the gay away.
Yes.
So to speak.
So to speak. And now it's definitely a four-letter word within LGBTQ Christian communities, because we know the stories of how damaging that was. yeah, people trying to change their orientation and really thinking that enough faith could do that led to significant damage in terms of sense of self, in terms of sense of God and faith. Yeah, it led people down really, really dark roads, and it didn't work because you can't change someone's sexual orientation. And if you believe that that's not wrong, then you don't need to. So it ran till Exodus International closed in 2013. Mm-hmm. So it ran for quite a while. And slowly people at first would say, yes, it happened. It worked. I'm straight now. Mm-hmm. God healed me. Mm-hmm. And years later would come out and say, actually, no, that's not true. I do still have same gender attraction. Mm-hmm. I was never fully straight. And so almost this, not necessarily like a conspiracy, but just like this wanting to make it true so much that people said it was. Mm-hmm. And so people believed it would happen. And then all these stories came out about how that's actually very rare. That doesn't happen.
Right.
Sexual orientation doesn't change. Exodus International began to crumble and people started to realize, wow, we are doing a lot of damage here. This is not helping people. This is not good theology.
So is the ex-gay movement still around?
In very small places, there are still places that do reparative therapy. Exodus International is no longer running. They did close in 2013 with an apology, saying that, recognizing that the work that they were doing was harmful. Mm-hmm. And that's largely also like the psychology associations has reproached reparative therapy, saying from a psychological standpoint, it's not supported. It's illegal now in Ontario to do reparative therapy on youth. Mm-hmm. So people like that are underage, you can't make them go to reparative therapy, which often would happen. Like a youth would come out to their parents, to a Christian family, and they would get sent to ex-gay camp to fix them. So that's no longer allowed, thank God.
So here we are talking about the ex-gay movement. Mm-hmm. And talk to me about New Directions. What's that about?
Yes, so New Direction is an organization based out of Mississauga, Toronto area. And in the past, they were part of Exodus International. So they were one of the groups that was doing Christian reparative therapy.
So part of the ex-gay movement.
Yes, so they were part of the ex-gay movement. And as they continued to do that work, they started to realize the harm that was being done and started to see the impact of their actions and started to realize, you know what, this isn't the way to create belonging and safety for LGBTQ Christians. This isn't working. We need to look at a different way of doing things. So in 2008, New Direction decided to leave Exodus International, and they started focusing on becoming a safer place for LGBTQ Christians to explore their faith in whatever way that looked. And so really becoming a place of acceptance in wherever people were in their journey. So now it's a place where there are groups that people meet all across Southwestern Ontario, all across Canada, actually. I can just talk about their sexual orientation or gender or belonging and their faith, and people from wherever they're at in their walk. So people that are in committed same-sex relationships, people that are transitioning their gender and sex, people that feel that they're called to live a life of celibacy, bringing everyone together to talk in a respectful, Christ-centered way. Mm. And it's a really, so I've been to a number of groups and retreats, and it's just a really beautiful community. It's, even for me, even though I'm not part of the LGBTQ community, it feels like a really safe space for me to just be who I am in whatever way that looks. That's where the wine and cheese night happened, and we got to have a sex joke first, right? Where we can just be ourselves and admit that we're fully bodied humans. So they have community groups all across Ontario and Canada, and they have retreats and camping trips and all kinds of wonderful things. And people, you can meet with some of the staff one-on-one and talk more about faith and experience and LGBTQ identity.
Kendra Wasink, thank you so much for your time and being on the show.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks so much for having me.
Hi, guys. This is Mika Barnes. Very happy to be with you on CIUT 89.5 FM.
CIUT 89.5 FM, and you're listening to Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show, and I'm your tour guide through Rainbow Country, I'm Mark Tara. So that was my spotlight on religion and homosexuality. The phone lines are open, so if you want to call in, please feel free. 416-946-7000. Maybe you want to share your thoughts about this particular topic. Maybe you want to talk about something else. Pride, police, policing, Black Lives Matter Toronto. Talk to me. 416-946-7000.
This is City Councillor Kristen Wong Tan, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Didn't know why I couldn't see through why I couldn't find peace on the calmest of days. And you found me when I, when I was lost and didn't know why. Why I couldn't see through the clouds. Now I thank God every day for the light that you shine to light my way.
Taste of love in a sweat. You can't see and you can't forget. It's a new sensation. It's gonna take you home. I'm amazed. You can let it get so out of hand. I know you gotta let it show. Let it go. Tell me straight, are you bold enough for a whole new lesson? I'm gonna teach you right. Don't be sorry, don't be ashamed. Look in my eyes if you know my name. Get it right. You gotta get it right. Get it right.
CIUT 89.5 FM, and you're listening to Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show, giving voice to the LGBT community, and I'm your tour guide. I'm Mark Tara. So we heard in that set, we heard Siri Lane, an American country folk group, Light My Way. And just now we heard Alana Hart, a local Toronto artist, Like Water. And when I return, we'll hear from Brewster Marshall. Hello, London.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM. Listening to Rainbow Country on CIUT 89.5 FM. And I'm your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm Mark Tara. Hey, how's it going? So that was Brewster Marshall with Hello London. And Brewster Marshall is from the UK. And before that, we heard Alana Hart, who is from Toronto. And before that, we heard Siri Lane. And Siri Line, sorry. And they're from the U.S. And they're all LGBT recording artists. And that's what I do. I play LGBT artists from around the world. It's kind of awesome. At least I think so. Don't forget, get social, get interactive
on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. My email is mark@marktara.com. Send me an email. Talk to me. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com. And again, everything is hooked up through my website, mark@marktara.com. Next week, Group Hex Volume 1, a book launch that I covered a few weeks back at Glad Day Bookshop here in Toronto, which is, I think it's the longest, oldest running gay bookstore in the world, I believe. That's coming up next week. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we live in days of making dreams come true, so believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you. Taking us out, one of my all-time favorite tracks by Eartha Kitt, Where Is My Man? I want to know.
Hi, guys. This is Mika Barnes. Very happy to be with you on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Rainbow Country has been brought to you in part by Inspired Media, Inc. If it's LGBTQ, it's in their publications. The Pink Pages Directory, Pink Play Mags, The Buzz Magazine, and popular talk show On the Couch. 27 years and expanding. InspiredMediaInc.ca.
better things in life that are rent free. Such things as summer by the sea, the Hamptons, Malibu, Capri, Capri, Capri. Ha ha ha.